Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Your favorite hour of the day is here. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports, coming to you live here inside of Studio S on the campus of MSU. Listening, I'm sure, on WKAR AM 870 or WKAR 105.1 FM. Or you may be checking out the live stream at Facebook.com/WKAR News. Or you may be listening via the podcast version of the show at WKAR.org. However you are tuned in, much love to you all. We really appreciate it. Thank you for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your day. And we have a great show on this Friday, October 26, 2018. Halloween, right around the corner. I feel like, you know, we got Connor Mathis behind the glass. Connor, you would have more knowledge on this than me. I'm a little bit removed now from college. And, you know, I know how we used to do it back in the day at Michigan State. If Halloween fell, like, in the middle of the week, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you would celebrate that weekend leading into Halloween. If it fell on a Thursday and Friday, you were turning up from Thursday to Sunday. Is it still that way?
Yep.
Okay. No, nothing has changed. So Halloween will be celebrated by the students this weekend. Be safe out there, guys. All right. I believe it falls on, what, a Wednesday?
Wednesday
of next week. And I'm pretty sure people still will turn up on Wednesday night, too. So there you have that.
Yeah, probably.
Question, what are you being?
Black Panther.
You are rocking Black Panther for Halloween. I feel like that's going to be a popular one, right? I really feel like, can you give us a Wakanda Forever real quick? You didn't see Connor do it, but yeah, he did the Wakanda Forever salute behind the glass. All right, Connor. All right, good stuff. Again, happy early Halloween to you all. Halloween weekend, I should say, to you all. We've got a great hour of Current Sports coming right your way on today's show. We will bring you a bit of our coverage from yesterday's Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day. Tom Izzo. I wonder what the record is. I would really be curious to look up how long, what's the longest, I should say, that Izzo has spoken at Media Day? Yesterday, I clocked it at 65 minutes. 65 minutes is how long Tom Izzo was up at the podium addressing us media members. And I thought I was going to be late because it actually started at 1:45 when Izzo started talking. Of course, we get off the air here at 2 p.m. And I booked it as soon as the show ended yesterday. Zachary Swiezicki, he was there recording it. And I'm like, oh, man, I hope Izzo's still talking by the time I get there. I'll probably get there around 2:15. I got there with plenty of time left on the clock. All right, I got there at like 2:15, as I predicted. And Izzo went until a little bit after 3. So it was a long press conference. Of course, we can't play the entire thing. We won't do that. That'll take up my entire show. We would have no show. It'll be the Izzo hour. All right, so we'll play a bit of Izzo's opening statement before he took questions, because he sounded off on the FBI investigation. He sounds off on the G League and why he does not like the G League. We'll have a little debate about that. We'll also preview this year's 2018-19 Michigan State men's basketball team. You will hear from Nick Wart, Cassius Winston, Josh Langford, and Xavier Tillman. Those are the players you will hear from in just a moment. All right, and we'll break down just exactly where this Michigan State men's basketball team will rank nationally and within the Big Ten Conference, all right? And we've got some breaking news when it comes to Michigan State football and personnel that we will see or not see on the field tomorrow at noon as Michigan State football plays host to Purdue. Keep it locked for that conversation. And also, a late addition to the show, we will have James Moore present for the swap meet just for 5 minutes around 1:45, and we will also have Reflection Friday to close out the hour. We'll do all of that while, of course, allowing you all to be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. And again, comment below that video. I will do my best to read your comments throughout these next 60 minutes. And you can even tweet us. Two ways to do so. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next. You know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and as I just mentioned, Michigan State men's basketball media day took place yesterday afternoon at the Breslin Center, welcoming a large group of media and photographers as the 2018-19 season draws closer and closer. After a luncheon, MSU head coach Tom Izzo held a press conference, which was followed by interviews and photos with the players. The Spartans ranked number 10 in the Associated Press preseason poll. Welcome. Three starters back, but will have to adjust after a pair of players in Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr., who were selected as NBA draft lottery picks. Leading the way will be preseason All-Big Ten selections, junior forward Nick Ward, junior guard Cassius Winston, and also want to throw in there junior guard Josh Langford. All right, so we'll break down what happened in media day. You'll hear from Izzo, you'll hear from some of the players as well. And you'll hear our thoughts on just how good this year's team will be. All right, Justin Frommer now joins me here in Studio West with some updates when it comes to Michigan State and Purdue on the gridiron tomorrow. Justin, happy Friday. What do you got for us?
All right, big game tomorrow at noon between Michigan State and Purdue. A lot of questions on both sides, really. How's Michigan State respond after a loss against their in-state rival, Michigan, where it's pretty ugly throughout that whole game? And then how does Purdue respond to probably one of the biggest wins in recent memory with just blowing out Ohio State?
Yeah.
Michigan State has won the last 8 meetings over Purdue, and if my recollection recalls, those have been pretty close in the past given years. Purdue's been a pretty pesky team. They throw the ball all over the place. I wouldn't be even surprised if they did run it maybe less than 10 times on Saturday with the way Rondell Moore's been playing.
Oh, my goodness. Is he fun to watch or what? Rondell Moore, he's must-see TV.
And as you mentioned before, the headliners, some breaking news regarding personnel from Michigan State. Graham Couch has reported that quarterback Brian Lewerke will not be starting for Michigan State. It will be backup Rocky Lombardi. Also, center Matt Allen, wide receiver Cody White, and cornerback Josiah Scott will not be playing Saturday against the Boilermakers. And also, a much bigger one, current punter, started the season as a backup, Tyler Hunt, will miss the remainder of the season after suffering a non-contact injury during practice. And I pulled up the Michigan State depth chart they released this week before the game, and just looking at where they have at punter under Tyler Hunt, Bryce Behringer, transfer from Illinois, I believe, brought him in earlier in the season, and then Rocky Lombardi are the two under him. So see Lombardi at quarterback and also punter. And just what I remember from Saturday's game against Michigan is they had a lot of wildcat plays with Ladarius Jefferson in the backfield as quarterback. And I wonder, we could probably see a lot more of that with his experience in high school at quarterback as well.
I think we will. I think we'll see at least one or two plays with Jefferson back there. And just, I mean, can it get any worse for Michigan State right now? I mean, Again, this is according to Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal, but, you know, Ryan Lewerke's not going to start. We kind of predicted that one. But Tyler Hunt now out. I know, Connor, that your brother is a kicker at West Virginia. Maybe you should shoot him a call right now.
I was about to actually give him crap saying, hey, you know, you could have come here. We could have really used you.
Right. So, yeah. And with all that being said, Justin, Michigan State is still a 2-point favorite. How in the world is Michigan State favorite in this game?
That line is just absurd to me. Unless Vegas knows something that we don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not a betting man, but I'd be pushing my chips towards Purdue on this line. That is,
yeah.
With what they did last week against Ohio State,
right.
I don't know how Michigan State's favorite in this game.
Bet the house. Bet the farm. Mama, we're putting the house up on that game tomorrow because I don't see how Michigan State pulls this one out. We'll see. Maybe the football guys rain down. I don't know. All right, Michigan State field hockey continues Big Ten tourney play today as they face off against Indiana on the campus of Maryland. The winner of Friday's contest will advance to the second round of the Big Ten tournament to face top seed and number 2 ranked Maryland. The game against Maryland will take place at noon on Sunday, October 28th. Also, Michigan State volleyball continues their conference slate tonight at Jennison Fieldhouse against Minnesota. The Spartans look to end a 3-game losing streak. Tip-off slated for 6 p.m. MSU Hockey News, Justin.
Kind of a disappointing in terms of results in that first weekend against Northern Michigan, splitting a home-and-home series. You'd like to have seen a clean sweep of a weekend to start off for the hockey team. Well, they get tested pretty early right away this weekend as they travel to Cornell, ranked 8th in the country. First matchup between the two schools since 2005, and it's the highest ranked team in a Big Ten opponent has played on the road this season. And like I said, a lot of talent returns this year from a very young squad last year with Mitchell Lewandowski, Tyler Hirose, and many people are wanting to see more improvement from really a program that has been down the last decade.
Yeah, I think Dan Cole is the right man for the job. I mean, last year was his first year at the helm, so, you know. We'll see what happens this season as it moves along.
Once again, big test to see where exactly the team stacks up so far early in the year.
Yeah, definitely. All right, my Detroit Pistons. Oh, I'm on cloud 1,000 right now. The red, white, and royal blue as the D stays undefeated on the year after facing a LeBron James-less Cleveland Cavaliers team last night, a 110-103 victory. I was glued to my television from start to finish there. Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond each tallied 26 points. Also recording a combined 32 rebounds. Reggie Jackson added in 16. Ish Smith, who did have a scare tweaking his left ankle, but he looks to be all right. Ish Smith, 10 off the bench. The Pistons are off tonight before they travel to take on the Boston Celtics on Saturday. That's going to be a great, great test. Actually got a chance to catch that Boston Celtics and Oklahoma City Thunder game last night. How in the world did the Thunder they gave that game to the Celtics last night in the third quarter. I don't know what happened there. And also, I want to give a shout out to LeBron James and the LA Lakers as well. They got a dub and an improbable win last night. Yeah, that was fun to watch. Kobe Bryant, Black Mamba, was in the house also. And this is a crazy story. Connor and I were talking about this before we hit the air. The Houston Rockets may be going all in for a Jimmy Butler trade, according to a report on Thursday. Houston has offered a whopping four first-round picks to the Minnesota Timberwolves in exchange for the talented but disgruntled swingman. Again, that's being reported by ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. And also, the Winnipeg Jets and the Detroit Red Wings will get it on tonight. The Jets come into town to take on the Winged Wheel. Puck drop slated for 7:30 p.m. Sitting at 1-6-2, the Wings are officially dead last in the NHL standings. The Wings rank 27th in goals for, 31st in goals against, 27th in shots per game, and tied for 22nd in shots against per game. To much more positive news in Detroit sports, the Detroit Lions, a good opportunity to get another win on Sunday, Justin.
Yeah, just real quick before I go through the opportunity the Lions have on Sunday, I just want to go back to that Jimmy Butler thing with a quick comment.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
how do you not accept, if this is the actual trade, if you're the Timberwolves, how do you not accept this? Jimmy Butler's a free agent next summer. You know he's not coming back.
Yeah.
This just gives you eight first-round picks, assuming you don't make any more trades the next 4 years. That's your future. How do you not accept this deal?
I agree, and he does not want to be there. And Jimmy, he's the type of player, if he doesn't want to be there, he's going to give you lackluster effort. All right, so trade him. Be done with this drama and get all those picks and see how you can rebuild for next season. I'm with you on that. All right, Seahawks-Lions.
Yep, going back to Seahawks-Lions, big game for the Lions. 3-3 now coming off that win against Miami, and where we saw Kerryon Johnson have even more of a breakout performance as he has this year. And we really saw how a run game can just elevate Matthew Stafford in this offense. Mm-hmm. And earlier in the week, they trade for Snacks Harrison for just a fifth-round pick. That's really going to force Russell Wilson to have a special performance shutting down that run game there. So with a chance to go 4-3, and you look at the rest of the action happening in the division this week, Packers play the Rams. The Vikings play the Saints. Those are the two teams ahead of the Lions. This is mm-hmm. a big opportunity for the Lions to gain some ground in the division and really have a shot at the playoffs.
Especially because, I'm not buying stock in the Lions just yet. If they get past that gauntlet of a schedule in November, then we can talk. But they have not played anybody yet. So, again, it's fool's gold for me. If they can beat the Bears, if they can, and they this will be a tall order, right? They play the L.A. Rams, for goodness sake. If they can beat the Rams, the Panthers, then holla at your boy. But right now, no. Let's see what happens when November hits. All right. And they start November playing, as you just mentioned, Justin, the Minnesota Vikings. So, and also, Game 3, World Series today, right?
Yeah, this is probably the most pivotal game in the World Series. Dodgers looking to avoid a 3-0 deficit in the series after dropping the first two in Boston. No team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in the World Series. The last one coming in 2012 when our Detroit Tigers got swept. And just quick sports trivia question of the day for both you guys. One time in 33 chances between the League Championship Series and the World Series has a team come back from a 3-0 deficit to win the series. Either one of you can tell me who did it, what year?
I have no. Is it in the modern era?
Yeah, it's recent.
Jack just went crazy just now. Jack is catching the Holy Ghost behind
He's
the glass.
He's talking about the Boston Red Sox over the New York Yankees
in
2004.
In 2004, that's the only time that has happened.
That's the only time that has happened. And you mentioned the 2012 Detroit Tigers. I remember, I'd never forget that. That was one of my first big assignments as a young reporter, covering the World Series for Channel 6. I'll never forget that. Crazy stuff.
Speaking about Tigers and former Tigers, it's going to be Rick Porcello on the mound for the Red Sox. How about all the former Tigers?
I know.
This is killing me.
You just shake your head and say, we had him. It's just ridiculous. And also, let's kill the music for this one. The NHL has announced the death of John Ziegler Jr., the NHL's fourth president. Ziegler, who was the first American to run the NHL, oversaw its merger with the WHA in 1979. Ziegler ran the league from 77 to 1992. He was 84 years old. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. Here we go. Welcome to this Friday version of WKAR's current sports. In just a moment, I want to break down Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day. And Zachary Swiezicki's in the house. We got Justin Frommer who is in studio right now. We were all at MSU Men's Basketball Media Day. You know, Media Day, I will say this, because I usually give this speech. Media Day, cliches everywhere, you don't really learn anything. With Tom Izzo, it's a bit different, though. Again, I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, Tom Izzo did a 65-minute press conference yesterday. And Tom is always going to be honest with you. He's going to keep it real. He's going to crack a joke or two. I love it. I love it. Tom Izzo is one of the unique coaches in sports who is pretty much unfiltered. Right now, it was an interesting year dating back to last season because of all of the drama centered around the ESPN report. And it was really the first time we really saw Tom Izzo muzzled, because he had to be. With everything that was going on, the investigation, it was just an odd time for, in my opinion, what was the best roster from top to bottom that Izzo ever had. The amount of talent on that roster, that was a national championship contending team that, as we all know, back in March, fell in the second round to the Syracuse Orange, a team that barely got into the NCAA tourney. I know I'm hitting a sour spot for Spartan fans out there, because many of you, and I don't know if any of you ever will get over this, that loss hurt. It hurt a lot. And then the after effect of that loss. You have Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges becoming instant NBA lottery picks, now making millions at the next level, wishing them the best. But you're going to be looking at that year and wishing and saying to yourself, what could have been? What could have been? It's a sour spot for Spartan fans. And also, you know, when you talk about the drama that occurred last season, I can only imagine what it was like for Tom to have to juggle that while going out there and trying to get his team mentally ready to play the game of basketball. Can't dwell over the past, though. Can't cry over spilt milk. And we are trying our best now to look forward to this upcoming year for Michigan State men's basketball. They play a schedule that, and we say this every year, right? You know, at Media Day, that's one of the big storylines. Michigan State, historically, under the Tom Izzo regime, they love to play this gauntlet of a schedule, starting off against some of the big names in the sport of college basketball. And they continue that tradition this year. University of Kansas on November 6th in Indy on ESPN. And then you have the Las Vegas Invitational. Teams like UCLA, North Carolina, Texas. And then you have the ACC Big Ten Challenge, the University of Louisville. I mean, this is what Tom loves, because this formula, however some Spartan fans out there may gripe about it on a yearly and annual basis, it usually works, right? I mean, Tom plays this tough schedule. They figure out who they are early, and they ride this crazy momentum going into March. So we'll see what happens. But I know it's tough to discuss Michigan State football right now. I mean, excuse me, basketball right now without thinking about what happened not too long ago, back in March. So what I want to do right now, I just want to play a few snippets. This is Tom Izzo before questions, and this is what Tom does. He starts off the press conference. He says, hey, welcome. You know, I'm going to go through the roster right now. And Tom will literally go through the entire roster, player by player by player, and will list that player's strengths and weaknesses, and will give his, like, season outlook for that particular player. So that's also why it lasts so long. And then Tom will give another statement, and then he'll say, all right, finally, we'll get to our questions. So this happened right before Tom opened it up for questions, and Tom decided to elaborate on the FBI investigation, and also he gives his thoughts on whether or not the G League is healthy for young basketball players.
That's a cloud for us, you know. It's a cloud for us. I mean, I've heard different coaches talk different ways on whether it's really bad or not bad. You get in the FBI into college basketball, it's bad. I mean, I'm no UP, you know, I didn't know what the hell FBI meant. We don't have those guys up there. But I've learned quickly that it's not a group you want to be on the wrong side of. I really hope that we can look at some things, make them better, and try to improve for players, coaches, and schools. But there are some problems. I don't know what's going to end up happening. I wasn't there for any wiretaps, wasn't in any hotel rooms. So it'd be, again, crazy of me to comment on something that I know nothing about. But who's the victims? I don't know. I don't know. I think we're all the victims. You know, there's problems that we're dealing with. In this G League thing, I was on a conference call today on a committee that I'm on for college basketball. I think the impact it has on college basketball would not be as great because I don't think there's as many players. But again, I think we're constantly, and it really bothers me, that we're constantly making rules that we think gives kids freedom at 18 years old. And I'm wondering who in the hell needs freedom at 18 years old. But whatever people think, everybody's writing things about it. Everybody thinks kids should have all this. But I wonder if those same people raise their kids that same way. And I think it's a small number of players, but I worry about, you know, are these kids now in ninth grade, 10th grade going to think, well, I'm going pro, you know, $125,000. All of us here know the government's taking a big part of that, you know. Then they got to pay for their food. They got to pay for their housing. They got to, you know, they're not going to have the facilities we're going to have. You're going to be playing against 26, 27-year-old men that are fighting for their lives. I'm not sure why everybody's so enamored with it. But whatever they decide, like everything else, I'm not in the room. I don't know why people are thinking of making these kind of decisions. And if it benefits the kids, I'm all for it. I just think that we keep acting like all this stuff benefits the kids. And I wonder where all of us would be if we went that route at a young age. We've had some kids that have made it at a young age. We've had some kids that haven't made it at a young age. And I continuously say that once they don't make it at that level and they don't have their education and they don't have the things that most of us have, where do you go from there? So worries me a little bit. I don't know if it's going to affect that many people. I just think it's going to partially affect them because I think everybody thinks, you know, everybody that comes to these colleges, these BCS colleges, think they're NBA players. Well, you know, of the 50 top colleges or 75 top colleges, I mean, there's only so many players. There's only like 25, 6 Americans that make it a year. So there must be another league somewhere that I don't know about. But everybody's not making it. And if I were them, I'd want the best chance to make it. And I have heard nothing that gives me the feeling that it's the G League. But the NBA is going to do more, so be it. College basketball is still a great game, and we're going to get a lot of great players, and I think we're going to develop our players, and that's kind of where I'm at.
All right, Tom Izzo at Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day yesterday, discussing the FBI investigation and then elaborating on whether or not he believes that the NBA's G League is good for young players. Right now joining me in studio, well, Justin Frommer joined me throughout the headliners, and he continues on with this conversation. And we also have Zachary Swiezicki, current sports beat reporter and intern, in studio with us as well. Swy, you helped me cover yesterday's MSU Men's Basketball Media Day, and you actually heard those comments live before I did. I want to get both of your thoughts on this because I disagree with Izzo when it comes to his dislike of the NBA's G League. I think that this is a great opportunity for young talent who knows that they're probably going to go one and done and they want to get paid. And we all know how I feel about the NCAA and the NCAA basically using its young athletes and they need compensation for the amount of money that they bring into the to universities like this here at Michigan State. I don't have anything wrong. I have no problem with a young player who says to himself, well, I could go to college, have a great experience, play under a great head coach like a Tom Izzo and mature my game, or I could go to the G League, do that same thing under different tutelage, but also get paid for it. I see no problem with taking that route and going to the G League. Tom Izzo is basically attacking it from the standpoint of, look, college is great. You know, when you come here, there's so much that you learn outside, you know, outside the basketball court. You know, you learn how to you basically become a man when you come to a college. And that experience is invaluable. And I get that as well. But I have no problem with a young athlete who says, I want to take this route and get paid for it. Swy, what are your thoughts on what Izzo had to say concerning that?
So I think if you just think of it from his point of view, he has nothing to gain from supporting it. He's trying to sell.
I thought about that too.
Trying to sell to recruit. So
right.
I get it from his standpoint, but if you look at the rule itself, it's only going to apply to a percent of high school players. I mean, there's going to be very, very few players that are going to even be able to jump to that level and have any type of success. He talked about that as well. The G League's a different animal than college.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the pros, but it's still a step above the NCAA. I mean, he mentioned, you know, you're playing against grown men.
Right.
And again, I think, again, he means well in the majority of his comments. He's talking about you hand tens of thousands of dollars to 18-year-olds, what are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't speak for everyone, but I've had this conversation with my friends. Going through high school, I didn't learn about money.
No.
I didn't learn about how to, you know, spend money, what a mortgage is, how to pay taxes, anything like that.
Right.
So I think I think he means well from his comments, but I do side with you that the rule is still, you know, good for the game.
Well said. You know, and I always have looked at this and said, okay, why not adopt what baseball does, right? You know, the minor league system in baseball, which is essentially what the NBA has in mm-hmm. the G League now, right? Where, you know, if you have a young talent coming out of high school, if he decides not to take that minor league G League route, go to college and make it a requirement to stay at least 2 to 3 years. I like that because these one and dones, I tell you what, a lot of them aren't ready for the NBA game just yet. I mean, they play 1 year in college. They think they're ready. But again, as you mentioned, Swy, I mean, the G League, yeah, you're playing with men. The NBA, you're playing with beasts, you know? So you got to really be ready if you're going to make that leap after just 1 year of college. So if you decide to make that leap, at least stay 2 years in my estimation. But I'm going to give you the opportunity to make that decision. Justin?
And just going along with that, with the side of the NBA, and college isn't for everyone, especially some of these guys who, let's be honest, are there only for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very rare when you have five-star, one-and-done caliber players like Jaren Jackson, Miles Bridges, who want to be in college, want that experience. So if these guys know they're going to be there just for 1 year, why not get paid to go play and learn and play against people who are fighting for their NBA lives.
Exactly. I'm with you on that. All right, as we proceed here, I now want to throw to a bite of Nick Ward. This is Nick Ward discussing what exactly his mindset was when he pondered possibly going to that next level of the National Basketball Association, testing the waters a bit, if you will, before eventually deciding to return to Michigan State. Here's Nick Ward.
Very confident coming into this season.
Coach, when you came back from the draft process and all that, you came back with a different person and player. What did you notice from there? What did you learn from there that you've really changed everything since then?
Well, you know, you learn a lot about yourself when you go through a draft process because it's the best of the best. You know, they tell you things that, you know, I've never heard of. Level to help you excel in the next level for you to work on when you come back. So they just told me, you know, work on my jump shot, my body, you know, my conditioning, a whole bunch of stuff like that. Then they said we should be fine. Basically, you know, going to that was the best thing I could have done because this is a big learning experience.
How helpful was it this summer? Xavier was saying you guys worked out every day together. How important was it for you to have that other person?
Well, you know, it's very important because I'm, you know, I'm not only getting better, but he's getting better with me. So, and he helps with me be my best because we compete against each other every day. So, you know, it's very important to have that camaraderie as a team.
Nick, when did you make that final decision? Was there a moment when you said, okay, I'm coming back?
the last day of it, like, I was in the living room with my parents, and I was thinking to myself, you know, the pros and cons of it all, you know, what could happen, you know, what would happen if I come back, you know, things like that. And that was, you know, a deciding factor.
What was that day like? I mean, how long did it take you?
It took me all the way to the final day. You know, it was a tough day because I knew how to make the decision. You know, I wanted to push it back, but I couldn't. That was the last day. So I had to make a decision. And I know I made the right decision.
Did you have any moments where you're like, I'm totally gone, or I'm totally coming back, like during that?
Well, you know, you hear the good things and you hear the bad things. You know, I hear that I'll be a great fit in the league with a whole bunch of different teams. You know what I mean? So that's the moments where you're like, okay, I'm gone. I'm going this year. And then, you know, the moments when you're coming back, oh, you need to work on this, oh, you need to work on that. You know, those are the moments where you need to, you know, take a step back and go back. So, you know, it's really, you know, whatever your heart says to do. My heart told me to come back.
How's it changed you? I mean, how has the whole process, I guess, maybe up, you know, in your head, in your heart, how did it change you?
You know, it just changed the work ethic. You know, it just shows that I have to work that much harder, you know, to get where I want to go. And that was a big factor for me. So, and it shows that, you know, my coaches are on my side, and you know, they help me through whatever. And that was big for me.
Which players did you talk to?
Kyle O'Quinn, he plays for Indiana Pacers now. Jared Sellinger, I talked to him, and Karis LeVert, I talked to Karis. You know, those are the main players I talked to.
Spartans.
Of course, all the time. Right. But I talked to Denzel, you know, Gary all the time.
What they tell you?
Draymond. They just told me, you know, do what my heart says. You know, they can't really make a decision for me because at the end of the day, it's my decision. But they said, you know, whatever your heart says to do, you know, do it. Whether it's leave, you leave. You stay, you stay. But if you stay, you have to be all in when you come back. You know, I took that advice to heart.
What have you worked on offensively? Your mid-range game,
are
you going out further?
Yeah, my mid-range game, my threes, you know, my driving to the basket, you know, everything, really. You know, I'm really trying to become the ultimate four-man, you know, because that's a position I'll play at the next level. So that's all the work.
Again, Nick Ward comments coming from Media Day yesterday for Michigan State men's basketball. A few interesting things. Again, we have Justin Frommer and Zachary Swiezycki live here in Studio West joining me discussing Michigan State men's basketball media day. Nick made the right decision, in my estimation, guys. I have no problem with Nick testing the water, though. You know, just to see what he needs to work on before he does decide to make that decision to take his game to the next level. Because I love Nick Ward. I mean, Nick Ward, I don't think any of us expected him to be the player that he turned out to be once he came here at Michigan State. I mean, he's really improved his game. But I think he has yet to reach his ceiling yet. And I think, you know, him discussing where his game is with those NBA scouts, getting that feedback is going to prove very valuable for this team this season. And, you know, Nick is a guy, and that last snippet there, Nick working on his jump shot. I think now if you want to play in the NBA as a big man, you have to be able to hit the jump shot now. The stretch forward is what lives in the league now, and if you can't hit that jump shot, gone is just the primary post big man in the league today. Swy, your thoughts on what Nick had to say?
Well, I mean, that's what the rule is made for, right? To go to the combine, hear from teams, work out with teams, hear what they have to say,
right,
and evaluate basically yourself. I mean, he said he went to the last day. Again, you can't argue with him. Who wouldn't want to come back for, you know, another year of college on a very good MSU basketball team? Possibly go back and win a national championship. I know he had his times with Tom Izzo last year where it was a little bit tense.
Mm-hmm.
I know you saw Rutgers. He got benched and came back very strong after that. He was kind of a different player. You know, for those of us that went to go see him at Moneyball, he looked like a completely different player. I mean, he's changed his body. He's changed his game.
He's really slimmed down, hasn't he?
Where I'm not sure if it was in the clip, but he said he wants to be the ultimate four.
Yeah, he said that, yeah.
Right at the end of that clip. So it's going to be interesting to see where he fits in. I know Justin was talking about that right before we came back. This team, with all of the bigs, I would say all of them outside of, I mean, we'll have to see how Tillman's shooting. I saw him make a few threes, you know, after the photo shoot. But the majority of the bigs can shoot threes, and that would, if Izzo were to allow that, that would be really a change in offensive philosophy that we haven't seen.
Do you think he will? Izzo is getting kind of out of that stubborn mindset
from
a little bit.
From what
with
I've
the heard, zone conversation?
From what I've heard from the players, the bigs are taking a couple threes in the scrimmages.
Okay, that's more than
you'd think.
Exactly. Justin?
Just going back to that comment you made about how Izzo's trying to get out of that stale mindset. I think he has to after what we've seen, how that last three seasons have ended up.
Mm-hmm.
Teams can go back for a decade and look at film to prepare for Michigan State. And just going back to Nick Ward, Tom Izzo made a comment in his presser, about how excited he is for how Nick Ward's game has evolved. And like Zach said, we saw in Moneyball, he was shooting, he was handling the ball, and just visioning of how a stretch four can work in this offense. If Ward is able to step out and hit a jump shot, that will open up more space for a Xavier Tillman to make some more moves and have some more space in the paint for whoever's playing at that five spot.
Yeah, definitely. All right, I want to play, due to time, I just want to play one more snippet. This one comes from Cassius Winston, who I think is going to be poised to have a big year. We saw Cassius really improve leaps and bounds when it comes to his jump shot. I mean, I have to look this up, but I think did he finish leading the Big Ten in three-point percentage?
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. He did. He finished tops in the Big Ten Conference last year when it comes to three-point percentage. Just amazing. And, you know, his game seems to be evolving and getting better year by year by year. Here is Cassius Winston on what happened against Syracuse, you know, and how many times he's watched that footage and what it means for this team moving forward now, possibly some motivation, and Cassius speaking on his game this upcoming year.
You know what I'm saying? You're only good as your last game. That's a big thing, and our last game definitely wasn't what people thought it was going to be, but... like I said, we really don't have any regrets about last year, if that makes sense. You know, we won 30 games, won a Big Ten championship, a great group of guys. You know, there really wasn't any regrets. There weren't really any regrets of our last game except for the ball didn't go into the rim. You know what I'm saying? If the ball would have went to the rim just maybe, you know, two or three more times, then we'd be perfectly fine. But, hey, there's no regrets. You know, I'm proud of our team last year, proud of everything that we accomplished. But at the end of the day, you know, we did lose. We did, you know, come up a little short. So now we got another opportunity. I don't know how to explain it. I don't want to sound like too confident or cocky or anything, but, you know, this team is determined. You know what I'm saying? We got to get back to, you know, Sweet 16s and Elite Eights. You know, that's what Michigan State basketball is, and, you know, that's what we're determined to do. There's so many things I want to accomplish, you know, as a college player. And, I mean, I'm in my junior year, you know, I'm running out of time. So, like I said, it's a lot of point guards out there that, you know, consider, you know, there's a lot of good point guards, a lot of good players out there, a lot of good teams out there. And, you know, I want to go with my guys, and I want to go against, you know, the best and prove what we got.
All right, again, Cassius Winston, starting point guard for MSU men's basketball. How well do you guys think Cassius Winston is going to play this year? I think that Cash is a guy who can do so many different things. He's a gifted passer. He's got great vision. You know, he is a great shooter, gifted shooter as well now, and that's continuing to get better according to Izzo. Got to improve defensively. That's the big knock, right? You know, Cash, it didn't look like Cash hit the weight room. You know, kind of looked the same as last year. And we'll see. I what is the ceiling for Cassius Winston?
Well, like you mentioned, I think he goes as far as his defense goes, because we know his offensive game. He's going to shoot the lights out of the ball. He can pass it, but that's been the knock his whole career is how well he can play defense. And that goes to the same for his backup this year, Foster Lawyer. Tom Izzo made a comment saying the state has a history of breeding point guards who can shoot, but you can't defend the ball.
Right.
So if Winston can round it all together, the offense, the defense, he's can by far compete as one of the best point guards in the conference. He's going to have to go up against Carson Edwards from Purdue to take that title. But if he can easily be one of the best point guards in the country.
Definitely. Swy?
I mean, we'll have to see if last year was an anomaly or if that's just the way he's trending, because he loses Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson, which stole a lot of attention from around him. I mean,
and that helped his game a lot too. Yeah, I mean, because he could throw it up to a Miles or give it up to a Jaren, and you know that's an assist right in the bucket for him.
So,
right?
I mean, if you think about the team realistically, he might be defensively game planning the number one person that they're game planning for for other teams coming in. So again, the two captains that we were just talking about, Matt McQuaid and Josh Langford during that clip, they were probably the two most disappointing players on last year's team.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're still playing how they were last year, again, more pressure on Winston, how can he really work around that? Because this team, I think, is fascinating. I don't know really what to expect with.
I don't either.
A few of the players,
let's save our expectations until next week, and we'll toss around, you know, where we think Michigan State men's basketball will rank. You know, I want to look at the entire slate and do some more research, to be quite honest, when it comes to just how the rest of the Big Ten stacks up against Michigan State. But, you know, there's a lot of talent on this roster. I just don't know where they fit in the bigger picture of things when looking at the entire landscape of college basketball. But what I do want to do before we hit our break here is ask you all, which player do you guys think will really turn some heads unexpectedly this season? So give me a surprise player for this year. I'll start with Justin.
I'm going to go with Marcus Bingham. Okay. I spoke a lot with Marcus Bingham yesterday. I know he's getting comparisons already with Jaren Jackson with his wingspan and his height.
He is so long. That's something that Swy and I were talking about yesterday.
When
my
he walked
gosh.
Into the gym, my eyes opened up. Wow. But yeah. Tom Izzo talked a lot about how he can really shoot the lights out of the ball. And we mentioned how if you have a center or a forward that can spread out the court, it can really change an offense. And if he's able to maybe not at the clip that Jaren did because, I mean, Jaren's just a different talent. Mm-hmm. But bring some of that same physicality inside as a rim protector and as a shooter on offense, that can be a real game changer in some instances.
Right. Zach?
I think most of the faces people, you know, already know, all of the upperclassmen. Of the freshmen, I think Aaron Henry could be, you know, kind of a pivotal piece depending on how, you know, the two guards, the three guards play. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, depending on injuries, depending on that rotational situation, mm-hmm. he could get more meaningful minutes down the stretch. And I think he can, you know, defend maybe the one through the four, mm-hmm. you know, depending on the matchups. But I think he's a guy that could come in, play some meaningful minutes, and kind of make a name for himself here at Michigan State.
And I'm going to go and kind of reiterate what Tom Izzo said yesterday, Xavier Tillman.
Yeah.
I like X a lot. And, you know, you can see the changes in X's body as well. We were talking with him, and he was talking about his diet. And I'll probably play that snippet on Monday's show, but you know, him and Nick went on this really hardcore diet, and they're still going through this diet where they cut out all their fried foods and all of the chicken tenders and the French fries. And I believe X said that the hardest thing for him to cut out was the pizza, right? Mm-hmm. I believe he said the pizza. So I feel you, X. The pizza is hard to cut out, brother. All right, let's hit our break. When we come back, we will close the hour with some thoughts on Michigan State and Purdue. Tomorrow afternoon, do the Spartans have a shot? Vegas thinks so. Vegas has the Spartans as a 2.5-point favorite in this game. What to watch for? Spartans and Boilermakers. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We're rocking with some Schoolboy Q today. Connor, why is that? Why is that?
It is Schoolboy Q's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Schoolboy Q. One of my favorite hip-hop artists in the game. Love him. All right, line one, Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up?
Well, the Michigan Bullies, they got away with another one, didn't they?
Yeah, they got the dub. You can't hate on that, right?
Jim Delaney's gutless. Let me tell you something. If I went on that field or you went on that field and you were asked to be taken, asked to get off the field and you didn't do it, and then we took our cleats and tore their property up,
yeah,
we'd get put jailed in a game or two suspension. That guy's not even suspending. He's giving him a recommend. What the heck's a recommend? What good is that?
Reprimand. Right. Yeah. Like a tongue lashing, I guess. That was it. Michigan State did get fined $10,000. And as I stated on yesterday's show.
The other way around.
Yeah. I agree, Ray. I totally agree. And if anything.
Been the other way around. Harbaugh and them are at your stadium, not their stadium.
Yeah. I'm with you, Ray. I don't think Jim Delaney needed to do anything here. This was Jim just kind of flexing his muscle for no reason. And, you know, if going to punish anybody, yeah, you know, you saw Devin Bush. I mean, the temper tantrum and you know, defacing the Spartan head in the middle of the field. If anything, if you're going to punish anybody, Devin Bush should sit out a quarter or something. But you didn't need to go that route. I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah. What do you think? Real quick, because we got, like, less than 10 minutes, Ray.
Back. He was going to punch one of the state guys. I wish he would have. Then he would have got suspended for sure.
Well, I don't know how clever punching a man with a helmet on would have been, considering the fact that, again, they had helmets on. But, you know, I want to ask you this, Ray, because we broke some news. You know, we didn't break it. Graham Couch of the Atlantic State Journal did, courtesy of his sources. Michigan State will not be starting, according to Graham Couch, not be starting Brian Lewerke. It looks as though Rocky Lombardi is going to be the starting quarterback tomorrow against Purdue, a team that beat Ohio State. Also, Tyler Hunt is out. He had a non-contact injury in practice this week, so Michigan State has to plug and play another punter from off of that bench. What do you think happens tomorrow, real quick, Ray?
Well, I want to give you the Big Ten conference numbers, 847-696-1010. 847-696-1010. I've called down there about a dozen times, and all I get is a complaint line, but I've been raising hell about that.
Okay.
But I don't know about that. I'm more frustrated with this situation. Than,
I know you are.
You know, little kids see that kind of crap, and you do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. There should be some kind of suspension. If you're going to fine Michigan State $10,000, you should suspend that kid for a quarter or a half or something.
I hear you, Ray. All right. Ray, keep calling, brother.
All right, buddy.
Keep blowing him up. All right. Zach, Justin, Connor, Jack, thoughts on Michigan State Purdue. I want to get final thoughts and predictions on this game. I've exhausted my thoughts throughout this week here on Current Sports. I don't think Michigan State has a shot. Rocky Lombardi will be starting, according to Graham Couch. Again, there's so many injuries on this squad. Felton Davis III, his Spartan career is said and done. We all saw what the Boilermakers did to the Ohio State Buckeyes last week at home. I don't think Michigan State has a chance, Zach.
Well, Purdue could easily be undefeated right now. They lost their first three games by 10 points, two of them basically by a single penalty to close out both of those games. Purdue's been a good team. I thought they were slightly above average, and I kind of took some flack for that on Twitter. And that was after they were 0-3, just because if you watched them play, they were good. And Rondale Moore from the start was lighting it up.
Yeah,
I don't know who matches up with Moore on this Michigan State defense.
Nobody can.
And if they can't, if the offense for Michigan State can't score points, I don't know how it stays close, to be honest.
I'm right there with you, Justin.
Yeah, just going off of that, where's this offense production going to come from for Michigan State? I mean, it could come from L.J. Scott, but he says he's fully healthy. We saw some glimpses of the old L.J. Scott against Michigan, but not much. You know, you could, like I mentioned earlier, you could go with the Wildcat with Ladarius Jefferson and Connor Hayward in the backfield, but again, that didn't really provide much against Michigan either. And then just going on back to Rocky Lombardi starting and in that Michigan game, he came in with 3 minutes left, and the Michigan State coaches knew that Brian Lewerke was hurt. Jim Harbaugh mentioned after the game that he knew he was hurt. Whether Dave Warner wanted to lie about it or not in his press conference
was... Dave, let's call it like it is, man. It's called a spade a spade. Dave Warner lied to us
but
after the game, which I still have a problem with. I'm not going to go on a rant about that, but go ahead, Justin.
But you brought Rocky Lombardi in with 3 minutes left, and knowing that Brian Lewerke was inaccurate, wasn't even close on most of his throws,
he should have been put on the bench.
So what does that show about the coach's confidence in Lombardi that he wasn't able to come into that game earlier?
Right. I know. If I think it does say something. Okay, if they knew Brian had – which they did. They knew Brian had this injury, and you're still putting him out there, and you don't want to go with Rocky. Maybe they didn't like what they saw out of Rocky Lombardi that week in practice, so – Connor, your thoughts? Oh, okay. He's on the phone or he's doing something. Okay,
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Okay, Connor, thoughts? Your thoughts?
I'm going to be honest. I don't see them winning this game. Purdue is – I think Purdue is a little bit different from the rest of the Big Ten in that the rest of the Big Ten kind of focuses more on defense. Purdue throughout this season has very much been, hey, we're going to race you to 30 points, and if we get there first, we're going to win. If you get there first, all right. I think that while Michigan State defense is pretty good, I think eventually we're going to see what happened at the end of the Michigan game. They're just going to get tired, and this offense I don't think can even contend with Purdue right now.
No, not many can in the conference. And finally, Jack, your thoughts on Michigan State and Purdue tomorrow at noon.
I got the Boilermakers 24-13. I just don't see any way that this offense gets it going at any point, really, the rest of the year. It's going to be another frustrating day offensively for Spartan fans. I guess what Spartan fans in my mind should be looking at is I would just want to see growth out of Rocky Lombardi. He's not going to have many of his offensive weapons, but to me, if Lombardi plays well, I think that's almost all you could ask for as a Spartan fan.
And quick comment going off of that, if Lombardi doesn't play well, do we see Theo Day at all?
I was just about to bring it up. Yeah, Theo Day, I don't know. I don't know how far how loose the leash is with Rocky Lombardi. D'Antonio, he's in a tough situation right now. I mean, I don't think we've ever, in D'Antonio's tenure here at Michigan State, we have never, and I'm not using this as a cop-out for why they haven't been successful this season, but I don't think we've ever seen a season with this many injuries for Coach D.
Key injuries.
Felton Davis III, and Cody White breaks his hand, Daryl Stewart, Jalen Naylor, LJ Scott, your quarterback and Brian Lewerke, special teams, Tyler Hunt. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Everybody on the offensive line.
Offensive line has been put together with spit and glue right now. So, I don't know. Michigan State, Purdue, tomorrow at noon. Again, I want to remind you all that we will have a 2-minute drill report this weekend from that game. You don't want to miss that. And why not? We got less than 2 minutes left here. Real quick. Reflection Friday. I just want to give some props to my Detroit Pistons. I don't know how long I'll be able to say this, but they are still undefeated. And I really believe this is a team that can finish 4 or 5 in the East. And the NBA just so fun to watch right now. And I'll say this, the Detroit Lions will beat the Seattle Seahawks this Sunday. And Justin, you'll be at the game, right? You got tickets to that game, right?
Yeah, I'm a Proud season ticket holder.
You are season ticket. Oh, my goodness. I feel bad for you, man. Well, hopefully they'll get you a win this Sunday. But again, I'm still not buying the Detroit Lions. Let's see what happens in November. But they'll get the dub this Sunday. And, I'm also excited to see if Kerryon Johnson can continue his upward trend of just torching defenses on the ground. He's a fun player to watch. He truly is. All right, until next week, current sports listeners, we will see you Monday, same time, same place. Going to be a loaded Monday show. We'll recap MSU and Purdue. We'll recap Lions and Seahawks. And we'll also briefly touch on a bit of MSU men's basketball. And I promise you, I'll get to those bites from Josh Langford and Xavier Tillman. But have a great weekend. Be safe. Happy Halloween weekend, I should say. And as always, be easy, people.